much, let's say, open to different topics if people, you know, want to think about what they want to, you know, what they would like to focus on the Mondays. But for today, usually, traditionally, we always start off, I guess, with a little Parshas HaShavua, which is always a good thing in the beginning of, usually in the beginning of the year, before the Yom Ha'Ra'im, do something connected, obviously, with the Yom Ha'Ra'im, Hilchos Teshuva, and then the first few, we do usually something connected with the Parsha, which is anyway a good way to introduce certain issues of Hashkafa. Anyway, so that's I think we'll begin today. So, of course, we just read Parshas Noach. We're at the transition point between Parshas Noach and Lech Lecha. So we'll speak a little bit about Noach and Avraham Avinu in terms of leadership models. A very popular topic in the Medrash and in the Mefarshim and Darshanim. There's a lot that has been said about it. I think the issue is not just to figure out what were the differences between Avram and Noach, but again, more to the point, how these different models are significant for us as Bnei Avram Avinu. Avram was the Av Among Goyim. How that impacts the way that we should try to develop what we should be focusing on, etc. The truth is that I say right now we're in the stage between Parshas Noach and Parshas Lech Lecha, but the end of Parshas Noach itself signals the transition between Noach and Avraham Avinu, or maybe not yet Avraham Avinu or Avraham. It's already at this point it's still Avram, I think it's interesting to look at the background of each, the way in which they seem to have been selected. The language that the Torah uses to highlight, their future prominence, I think that's always instructive to do, to try to figure out to understand even more deeply the diversity, let's say, of the models. Chazal themselves, of course, as I say, abound in their discussions of the relationship between Avraham and Noach. We all know the first Rashi there in Parshas Noach, Yesh Dorshim Oso Lignah, Yesh Dorshim Oso L'Shevach. You almost can't, these are the two, you have Adam, Noach, Avram. Adam, the first human, Noach, the first leader in a state of crisis, again, the first of the new world. And then, of course, Avram Avinu, where you start getting into the religious particularism, Av Hamon Goyim, where the focus shifts to Klal Yisrael. So you can't not look at Adam, Noach, and Avram together, and you can never say enough about the different models and the interrelationships between them. It's never going to be, you're never going to, exhaust, the significance of that topic. Again, Yesh Darshim Oso L'Gnai, Yesh Darshim Oso L'Shevach is a direct comparison. And his Halech Lefanai, and so on. The various other diukim that the Medrash and the Mefarshim zero in on to talk about the relationship between Avram and Noach. But the fact again that each one is the foundation or the leader of a new world in a sense, and each one in a certain respect is represents symbolically, the telos of that new world. So that, of course, brings them into very sharp and clear focus. In the case of Noach, as I say, he's the first human after the calamity. In the case of Avraham, because of the impact that he's going to have as the Av Hamon Goyim. Chazal say that the world was created because of Avraham Avinu, meaning because of the Jewish people. The tour, I'm not sure if they have it in this... Do they have a Torah here, the Balaturim? The first Balaturim, they don't have it, but the first Balaturim in Parshas Lech Lecha zeroes in... Do they? No, they don't have it, but okay. The first Balaturim in Parshas Lech Lecha zeroes in on this idea. So, as I say, not only Noach, but really Avraham Avinu is the focus of the new world. But what I'd like to do is just highlight some of the differences in a more, I guess, oblique way. The Mishnah in Avos, Parakei, Mishnah Beis, tells us that there were 10 generations from Adam to Noach, and there were 10 generations from Noach to Avram. Asar doros mi Adam viad Noach, lo dia kama erach apayim lefanav, shekala doros hayu machisin, uboin ad shehivi aleim esmei amabol, and then asar doros mi Noach viad Avram, lo dia kama erach apayim lefanav, same idea so far, shekala doros hayu machisin uboin, ad sheba Avram avinu. And here, of course, the formulation changes instead of what you have with regard to Noach, which is kol ha'doros hayu machisin ad shehivi aleihem es ha'mabul. In the case of Avram Avinu, it's ad sheba Avram Avinu v'kibel sachar kula. So all the mefarshim, of course, note this immediately, right? You have the total parallel, the 10 generations, the formulation of erech apayim and machisin. But in one case, you have a mabul, and in the other case, you talk about the schar of Avram Avinu being able to override everything. So this becomes a good opportunity for the Mefarshim to point out the differences between Noach and Avram. Right? Noach was only a Miktsas Tzaddik, he was only a Tzaddik B'darosav. Avram Avinu was, you know, on any level, you know, a maximal Tzaddik, an objective Tzaddik. The perspective towards Avram Avinu isn't a relative one, it's an absolute one. And therefore his impact, his sachar, is greater than that of Noach, and he's able to save his generation. But the differences in the two Mishnah, in the two halves of the Mishnah, is the Reisha and the Seifa, or at least in what's signified in the Mishnah, extend beyond that. The Tosas Yom Tov has a very interesting ha'ara. Tosas Yom Tov points out that even though the Mishnah speaks about the 10 generations from Adam to Noach and the 10 generations from Noach to Avram, that there is a fundamental difference if you just look at the counting of the generations. That is, if you look at the counting of the generations from Adam to Noach, so both Adam and Noach are included, right? Again, if you start from the Psukim in Parakei, Pasuk Dalet in Bereishis, so you have Adam, when they... This is where the Torah makes the transition. Let's say, hey, Dalid. Right? The Torah makes the transition, the bridge, let's say, from one world to another, or one leader to another. Zeh Sefer told us Adam, right? Biyom bro Elokim, Adam b'dmus Elokim asa oso, zachar nekeva b'ra'am, ayvarach asam, ayikra shemam, Adam biyom hibaram. By the way, the hibaram, a lot of the people zero in, and the hibaram is a reference to Avraham, but that's... referring to what we said before, by Chi Adam Shloshim Umaas Shana, by Yolad Bid Musok Etzalmo, by Yikra Shemo Sheis, by He May Adam Acharei Holido Sheis Shmona Meil Shana, by Yolad Banim Ubanos, by You Kol Yimei Adam Asher Chai Chameil Shana Shloshim Shana by Yamos. Then by Chi Sheis Chameil Shana Umaas Shana. You have the same, roughly, with the exception of Nisus Shalach. You have the same basic formula, right, for all of the generations. So it begins with Adam. It goes. Right, Adam Sheis Enosh Kina Mahalel Lel Yered or Yorad, depending on which pasuk, Chanoch Misushelach Lamech Lamech, and then Noach, right? And with the exception of Misushelach, the formula is always the same as well. Meaning, it's you mention the person, you mention his born star child who's going to be the next link in that change of the generations. Then you go back to how many years he lived, after that Leda, and you always mention in each case, again, Vayolid Bani Banos, Vayikol Yimei Adam Asher Chai, Chamei El Shana, Rishloshim Shana, his entire lifetime, Vayamos. That's the formula, with the exception of Mesos Shelach, of each and every one. Vayichi Enosh Tishim Shana, Vayolid Es Kenan, Vayichi Enosh Achrei Holidos Kenan, Chamesh Asrei Shana, Shmonamei El Shana, Vayolid Bani Banos, Vayikol Yimei Enosh, and then on to the next one, again, only with the exception of Mr. Shelach, who had a different Chanoch, who had a different kind of relationship, and so on. So you have this very, mostly, with one exception, you have this formula, and the numbers right, include, they're odd, the odd bechlal. It's Adam to Noach. However, when you talk about the generations from Noach to Adam, so that's the psukim in beginning in Perek Yud Aleph in Bereishis. So I guess there could be theoretically two ways to count it. The Pashtus, it begins with Shem. Right? Yud Aleph Yud, Ela Toldo Shem. Shem Bein Ma'as Shana Vayod Es Arpakshad Shnataim Achar Amabul Vayichi Shem Achrei Olido Es Arpakshad Chamesh Me'el Shana Vayolid Banim Uvanos. Then Arpakshad Chai Chamesh Usholshim Shana Vayolid Es Sholach, and so on. So two things are striking. Number one is that Noach, if you start from here, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud, so then the ten do not include Noach. The way it goes is Shem, Arpachshad, Shelach, Aver, Peleg, Reu, Sarug, Nachar, Terach. And then, by the time you get to Avram, it's actually not even Avram. It's Avram, Nachar, and Haran all together, which is also very surprising. If you want to start earlier, if you want to include Noach, then you have to leave out Avram, if you want to have the ten. Right? Earlier, the Pasuk tells us about the death of Noach. If you want to start with that, so then you go until Avram, right? But Avram is not Ad Bechlal. In other words, Noach and Avram, Adam and Noach are in the same list, basically. Noach and Avram are not in the same list. The way the Tosfos Yontif understands it, and that's, I think, the simple pshat of the psukim, is that the list begins with Shem. It begins with Shem and it ends with Avram. Again, if you want to be insistent about beginning the list with Noach, then you have to go Ad below Ad Bechlal to Avram, then Avram is not on the list. But either way, Noach and Avram are not on the same list. Again, if you read the Mishnah in Avos, you would not get that, or if you didn't count them up, you wouldn't get that impression. You'd think that, you know, Adam to Noach is like Noach to Avram. You know, and it's a total parallel. If there's a difference, it's just in the difference that in one case it's a countdown of Erech HaPayim till the Mabul, and in the other case it's a countdown to, you know, highlight how incredible Avram Avinu's hashpa was, that, you know, he was able to neutralize the Erech HaPayim of these ten generations. But otherwise, they are identical. But the Tosfos Yontif's Ha'ara is a very good Ha'ara. The second discrepancy in the list is in terms of this structure. I say, with regard to Adam through Noach, with the one exception, you have, you know, a reference to, you know, this person, him being born, him living a certain amount of time, producing the heir, you know, that constitutes the link to the next generation, then his life after the heir, and then you don't just say how many years he lived, but each time we're told that he died. Right? When it comes to the transition from Noach or Shem to Avram Avinu, the Vayamoses are all gone. Right? You just have the person, you know, the heir, and how long you lived. But there's no Vayamos. Just striking. The one exception to that is Noach himself. When it comes to Noach, Perek Tes, Chav Ches through Chav Tes, let's see if I can find it. Tes, Chav Ches through Chav Tes. Right? So, Vayu Kol Yimei Noach Chame El Shana. This is why he Noach Achar Mabul Shlosh Me'el Shana V'Chamishim Shana. I mean, basically, Noach starts, his history starts, right before Parshas Noach, at the end of Parshas Bereishis, when we're doing the count, so that we get up to Noach, right? And when we get up to Noach, so we're told how long he lived, right, and that he produced three children. Then you have the story with the Mabul and everything, the aftermath of the Mabul and his drunkenness and everything that goes with it. And then finally, you have Vayichi Noach Achar Amabul Shlosh Me'el Shana V'Chamishim Shana Vayichi Kol Yimei Noach Tsha Me'el Shana V'Chamishim Shana Vayamos. And that's it. So the point is that the one exception where you have something close to or almost identical with the tzura of counting of the Adam to Noach is where you have Noach, right, to Avram. Now, if you like the Tosfos Yontif's Ha'ara, so this works very well. Right, Noach isn't part of the list. Right, it's from Shem to Avram. So from Shem to Avram, you have, without the Vayamos, Noach really belongs to the previous list, right? And that's why, even though there's such a gap between them, and presumably he was the culmination, and therefore he is also separate from that list, one would have thought. Nonetheless, the Torah goes out of its way, Vayamos, to treat Noach in that way, to put him on the, to use language which, even though it's, again, quite a few, it's four prakim later in our account, many psukim later, but nonetheless ties him back to the original structure and the original formulation. The Sfarno did note it in two places that I know of. Tes Yud Tes, this pasuk, when he talks about Noach, and then later on in Yud Aleph, he asks the question, as far as I know he's the only one, or the earliest one to ask this question, how can we have this Vayamos? Again, it's not like we don't know when the other people died. You'd say he lived, 463 years. If he lived 463 years, then that means that then he died. But how come we don't spell out that he died in the case of the second count, and we do each and every time in the case of the first count, with the exception of Hanoch? So the Sfarno says, because the first ones all died prior to the big event, the mob. And the other ones either were or in theory could have been all alive at the time of the birth of Avram Avinu. The only exception, he says, is Noach, and that's why the Torah spells it out. Noach died, you know, before the election of Avram, before Avram began his quest to find the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's why he's a throwback in the formulation to the old formulation. Okay, that's the explanation of this part. What I'd like to suggest is something, not that contradicts that, on the contrary, but that uses that a little bit more to make this a little bit more fundamental. Again, I think it's very intriguing, both of these points, that that the two lists are different in terms of the inclusion. Noach and Avram are not on the same list. Either Avram's off the list or Noach is off the list. I think that's very intriguing. And I think that this different structure and the emphasis of the Vayamos, I think, is important as well. So what is it about in bigger terms? So I think it highlights, again, the relationship or the nature of Noach's leadership and his particular model and character, as opposed to that of Avram Avinu. I think the point is that Noach, I've spoken about this in the past, Noach was by definition a transitional character and a survivor at that. And in light of this part of it, let's highlight it in this way. Again, everybody speaks about the fact that, you know, Noach wasn't able to save his entire generation, maybe didn't even expend sufficient effort to do so. Again, that's already reflected in this Mishnah in Avos, certainly that he didn't succeed. But is it only because he wasn't sufficiently a tzaddik, which is what the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Yonah emphasize in the Mishnah, or his perspective on leadership, his strength was also his weakness. His strength was that he was a survivor, right? That he was able to engender a transition from one world to the next. That was also his weakness. He was not a innovator, right? He was a transitional and a survival, kind of a character. And as such, he didn't have that kind of impact, right? Although we owe him a great debt, because without Noach, there wouldn't be a transition. Transitions are important as well. But the point is that it's more than that. I like to highlight it by, we talk about Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, right? But really, most of them were introduced, right, by Adam HaRishon, by Tzav Elokim. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, what's derived from Baitzav, what's derived from Elohim, an interesting topic in its own right. But most of the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach, six at least, are already introduced by Adam, yet we call the Mitzvah B'nai Noach by the name of Noach. Right? Shev Mitzvah B'nai, only because he's the one who, who completed, he rounded off the list. But I also think that his particular mitzvah, again, I've spoken about this, is symptomatic of his nature and his leadership style. His is Avraham Menachai. Avraham Menachai is the other Shem Mitzvah Noach are created mitzvahs of some sort, like Gezel and Avodah Zarah and, you know, dinim, and so on. But they stand on their own. Eiver Min HaChai is an adjustment, right, on the compromise, you know, of the post-Noach era. Meaning in the time of Adam there was no Achilas Basar. Right? In the aftermath of the Mabul, Basar was Hutar. And then, kind of as a, you know, as a remnant of the original Issur Basar, right? So we have several things. One of the things we're told is, you know, you have to be careful about murder. And that in itself is an interesting issue, but not for now. I think we learned Chulin some years ago, we spoke at length about some of these questions. But the other thing we're being told is that Dam is prohibited, and Eiver and Basar, and Dam and Achai is prohibited. So in a symbolic way, Noach's seventh mitzvah, to me at least, really captures the essence of what Shevet B'nai Noach are, as opposed to Taryag Mitzvah for Klal Yisrael. Taryag Mitzvah for Klal Yisrael represents a certain ambition, right, a spiritual maximalism, right? The Shevet B'nai Noach, highlighted by the fact that we call them Al Shem Noach, are about survival. They're about continuity and stability of society, right? They're not about an ambitious, right, initiative, you know, to create, you know, kedusha. Not even just a less burdensome kedusha. They're not about kedusha. They're about eradicating, you know, a barbaric or an inhuman, you know, kind of society. They're about stability and continuity. And Eiver Min HaChai is a perfect example of that. You have the Heter Basar, right? But it's balanced out by the Isur of Eiver Min HaChai. I think this is the story of Noah, both in his survival and his continuity. Everybody, you know, has heard about the post, Mabul era, where Noah really makes no contributions. On the contrary, he has this grand opportunity, but, you know, he squanders it, you know, by being no Tea Kerem, by becoming drunk, by introducing all sorts of other issues, you know, into the world. And again, that's because that's not who Noach is. As much as we appreciate the contribution of Noach, his contribution is in terms of his continuity and his survivorship, rather than in his vision or his ambition, his spiritual ambition, etc. And from that point of view, that's what I'd like to point out again, that Yesh darshim also l'shevach, Yesh darshim also l'gnai. But even the people are darshim also l'shevach. It's always important to realize. They say, if he had lived in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he would have been even greater. No one says he would have been greater than Avraham. And on the contrary, he would have been greater because of the impact of Avraham. Meaning, Noach is a mushpa. He's somebody who is influenced, but he's not an influencer. He's not somebody who takes initiative, and he's not somebody who impacts on others. So I think this is part of a larger topic, which is, I think, well established. Having said that, I think that also underscores both of these ha'aros in the psukim. Meaning, Noach, while he brought the world into a new era, and it was a new world, right? Torah had to repeat period of Arivia, maybe on a different basis, had to repeat the Isur against Retzach, there were new laws, you know, maybe even a change in nature, certainly the relationship between man and animal, all these things are true, right? But it's not Noach, it's Noach getting you there, right? Not Noach embodying, right, these visions or this ambition, etc. So a good way to highlight that is that when you count the transition of generations, right, from one to the other, Noach is not on the list of Avraham Avinu. And the point is, even more so, that Noach, even though he brings, you know, this transition into being, and he stabilizes the world, or he's responsible partially for its continuity, he doesn't really belong to the new order. Right? By omitting Noach from the list, and precisely because it is parallel, right? It's 10 generations, and if you don't do the count or read the Tosfos Yom Tov, right, you can easily miss it. But that's the whole point. It's subtle. It's subtle to tell you it's 10 generations, right? There's a lot of parallel here, but the contrast is enormous. Contrast is that Noach, you know, is part of the old order. And what better way to show that Noach is part of the old order than to use the expression or the same kind of formulation and structure of Vayamos, right, when it comes to Noach. what you're basically saying is he dies, or we count his role in this new generations, we count it the same way that we counted the old generations, even though he's in the new generation. And that's why he's not on the list. He can't even be on the list with Avram. He's basically transition continuity, but his real roots, right, are pre-Mabel. He's a pre-Mabel man who brings the world to post-Mabel. But he himself is not a post-Mabel personality. And therefore, he's not on the list. And on the contrary, we kind of interrupt Noach at the Mabel, and then we don't start all over again with him. We pick up the count, and we complete it as the pre-Mabel counts are completed, right, after he's accomplished his purpose. And in terms of the Sfarno, I think this is very good as well. Meaning, with the other transitional figures, let's say, to Avraham Avinu, they're all post-Mabel transitional figures. So whether they were alive or they weren't alive, they might have been alive, at least, during the time of Avram, and had something to do with, right, or, you know, the climate in the world, maybe, that made possible the initiative of Avram Avinu, his quest for the Ribono Shel Olam, etc. It's important to know about Noach, Vayamas Noach. That's what the Sfarno is saying. Again, the Sfarno doesn't have this larger picture in mind, but I think it just fits in very nicely, you know, as a theme. Meaning, Noach died before the main event. Just like all those other transitional people in the pre-Mabel period all died before the event of the Mabel. That's not true about the generations that are counted afterwards. So I think that, symbolically, the idea that, you know, Avraham Avinu is a visionary, Avraham Avinu, you know, is the telos of this new world, even though Noach is the one who brings you there, all of this is highlighted in this way. But if that's true, so it's even more interesting to note another seeming discrepancy in the Torah's depiction of the background of Avraham and the background of Noach. In terms of Noach, it seems like, you know, Noach had promise from the very outset, right? When the Torah does list the transition of the generations in Parakei, Pasuk Chavtes, towards the end, when Noach is finally born, you know already in the reading of the Torah and the description of the generations, you already know that he is the focal point. Right, that he's what we're zeroing in on. Vayichi lamech, shtayim u'shmonim shana, u'ma'as shana vayoled ben, vayikra shemo Noach lemar. This is completely unusual. Right? Till now, every one of the generations that are listed are just names and numbers. Again, with one exception, Mesushelach and Chanoch. But everything else is just, numbers, names, births and deaths. Obituaries, basically. Vayichi lemech shtayim u'shmonim shana ma'as shana vayoled bein vayikra es shemo Noach lemar. The other word said vayoled es lemech. Vayoled es misushalach. What do you mean vayikra es shemo Noach lemar? And of course, zeyinach hameinu mimaseinu u'mi'itzpon yadeinu minu adama she'er da Hashem. Wow. Meaning Noach is born, and they give him a name at birth, which shows that they feel that here's a charismatic baby, filled with exceptional promise. That's amazing. Contrast that with Avraham Avinu. Right, in the case of Avraham Avinu, so he doesn't even get an individualized birth announcement. Right? This is the psukim here in the very end of Noach. And again, I think they're meant to contrast. They definitely do contrast. The question whether they're meant to contrast is a different question. But when we read about Avraham Avinu, there's no fuss, there's no fanfare, there's no, potential, there's no charisma. It's simply by Chinachar, Teisha v'esrim shana v'yod es tarach v'yichi nachar achrei halida es terach shasrei shana ma'as shana v'yod banim u'banos v'yichi terach shivim shana v'yoled es avram es nachar v'es haran. I mean, he gets a zakev katan, you know. There's like a little, you know, pause. V'yoled es avram es nachar v'es haran. Okay, so if you're good at bal korei, or if you have, you know, good instinct for hearing at least the kriya, so there's like a hint, very subtle hint, that Avram Avinu is different. He is set apart from Nachar and Haran. But if you don't read the comma in the birth announcement, or you don't hear the comma in the Kriya Satara, so there are three children who are born to Terach: Nachar, Haran, and Avram. That's quite a contrast to Noach, where they're naming him, they're accentuating his name, they're giving him a name, right, which invests all sorts of promise in him. Not only that, I think it's very fascinating that if anybody's accentuated, right, in this parsha in the end, it's Terach. Right? That's really striking. The Ela, everybody else gets their, you know, their brief biography, right? No obituaries here, but birth announcements and biographies, right? And then Terach gets, if there's fuss and fanfare, you know, it's Terach. The Ela Toldos Terach, a separate formulation, right? So you would expect, okay, because he's the father of Avraham. Of course, it is because he's the father of Avraham. But not if you read these psukim. Ela toldos Terach, Terach holides Avraham, right? Another zakef gadol, by the way, which shows that it's not a coincidence. And then again, es nachar, the es haran, es nachta, v'haran holides lot. So we're giving undue attention to Terach. V'yamas haran, right? Al pnei Terach aviv. Be'eretz Moladeto Birkasdim, Vayikach Abram, meaning Vayikach Terach, it's Vayikach Abram Benachar, I'm sorry, Vayikach Abram Benachar Lahem Nashim, Shemeshes Abram Sarai, Shemeshes Nachar Milka. Again, even in the wedding announcement he's sharing with his brother, Bas Haran Avi Milka Vavi Yiska, Vaytisar Karayinu Balad, and then again, Vayikach Terach as Abram Beno, Vias Lot Ben Haran Ben Beno, Ve'esarai Kalaso, Eshes Abram Beno, Vayetzu itam meur kastim aleches arza kanan vayavo ad charan vayeshvu sham vayhi vayiu rather yemei terach chamei shanim masayim shana vayamas terach becharan. Just an amazing amount of ink dedicated to Terach. Nothing about Avram being unusual. I mean, he's muvla, unless you're paying close attention. You know, again, a little bit of a wedding announcement, a comma or as a kev katan. But certainly no hint whatsoever that Avram is central until the beginning of the next week's parsha. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha mi'artzecha miladetecha umibeis avicha. Then all of a sudden, Avram. Not only that, but there's something, two things that the Mefarshim will stop in one more minute, but two things that the Mefarshim discuss, which are interesting. Vayikach terach es Avram beno, v'eslod ben Aron ben beno, v'esarai kalaso eshes Avram beno. If you stop at the Asnachta, so the impression that you get is that the move right away from Ur Kasdim to Haran, which of course is a very big issue, in general the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra, you know, talk about this question, but it's the initiative of Terach. It's Vayikach Terach. Then the Torah slips in very subtly Vayetsu Itam, plural, right, Me'ur Kasdim, Lelechas Arza Kanan. And Rashi, quoting the Medrash, says that this means that that it wasn't really only Terach who was taking the initiative here, but that it was Vayetzu Itam, Vayetzu Terach V'Avram Imlot V'Sarai. And again, the Mefarshim on Rashi, this is all based on the Medrash, but this is a Chachamim, and others say, what's going on here? It seems like Terach took all the initiative, and then the Torah slips in a plural, so it had to be Terach and somebody else, right? So who was it? It was Terach and Avram. And then there's a big focus in the Mefarshim, who really, you know, took this initiative. Some of the Mefarshim take the view, Aruch Chaim and others say, listen, in the end, when Terach stayed in Haran, and Avram Avinu went on to Eretz Canaan, so Lot and Sarai went with him. So apparently the real mover here is not Terach, but we have a litmus test. Like, who are they really following? You know, Terach is the bluster. You know, the announcement in the papers is Terach is, you know, leading, you know, an expedition, you know, and, you know, accompanied by his, you know, loving family, you know, which looks to him for leadership and inspiration. But, you know, in the end of the day, you know, is that really how they went or why they went? The Itam implies, and then the continuation implies, that it's really Avraham Avinu. But the question is why? So it seems like, if anything, again, just to highlight the contrast, Noach is, you know, when he's born, he has potential. And there are great expectations, you know, of Noach. Avram is barely an afterthought. Again, only subtly can we see, you know, that he's the focal point and that it's his attention. Moreover, if anything, it's Terach who's the, you know, the mover and the shaker in all of this, except that the Torah keeps, you know, dropping hints that it isn't really Terach, it's Terach, Petoras, it's a kind of hashgacha, let's say, or that Avraham Avinu is behind the scenes, behind the initiative. And of course, you have the last pasuk here, by you may Terach, chamesh shanim masayim shana, vayamas Terach b'charan, which the Mefarshim note, again, the Medrash in the beginning of Lech Lecha, but Rashi quotes it here in the end of Noach, you know, that it isn't really true. It sounds like you know, they stayed in Charan until Terach died, you know, and then they moved on, which again would work well. Right. That seems to be the pshat. If you just read the psukim, you don't do the counting, right? So then that implies, because Terach is the one who is motivated the move, Vayikach Terach. So, you know, where is he? You know, when Avraham Avinu is on his way to Canaan, how do we get the transition? All of a sudden, Avraham Avinu is the object of the Rabbanu Shel Olam's interest. So if you read the Psukim, you get the impression, because Terach died, and now Avraham Avinu, you know, finally, you know, is coming into his own. But if you do the math, as the Medrash points out, and as Rashi indicates, and the Ramban, you know, in his way as well, and the Arachaim in his way, right, so we know that it's all misleading. What really happened was that Terach is left behind, right, he lives for another, what is it, I don't know, 70-something years, and he doesn't come to Eretz Canaan, and that becomes a big point of contention, a really interesting point of contention. Number one, why is the Torah misleading us, you know, in the Pshat, without doing the numbers? Why does it give the impression that the only reason he didn't come along and that he's no longer in charge is because he died? That isn't true. He's really alive and he's left behind, or he stays behind. According to the Radak, he stays behind. According to other Mefarshim, he's intentionally left behind. That in itself is really interesting. You know, what about, then the Chazal have this view that Rashi quotes about Kibud Av Ve'Eim, right, didn't want to be Mefarshim, that Avraham Avinu left his old, you know, infirmed, you know, father behind, like, you know, this is the Amud HaChesed, you know, he said, see you, Papa, or maybe not see you, Papa, and, you know, that, you know, 70 years of not having a family, abandons his father. That itself is a very fascinating Chazal. What do we mean by that? Either he did or he didn't, you know, but Chil Hashem, so it's better to formulate the pasuk in such a way that people superficially will read it and think, you know, that that he died first, or, and that, you know, Rishayim B'chayayim Nikru Mesim, so there's some sort of accuracy here as well. I won't be able to discuss all this because I have to finish in literally one more minute. So the parts of this, obviously, we'll have to leave for some other time. But I think the basic point is that I want to make is as follows. The contrast to Noach, and again, the foil of Terach, you know, getting all the press here, and even, you know, the hint that it's really Avraham Avinu, right? It's Vayetzu Itam. And he's the... And in the end, it's totally Avraham Avinu because, again, but the Torah, again, is projecting, like, you know, like Terach is in charge. But we know, just doing the math, that is pshat, right, if you do the math, that that it's not true. So I think the point is as follows. It's, you know, a kind of a, you know, Ein Lecha Yafa, you know, Min Hatznius, you know, situation. When it came to Noach, and, you know, initially Ela Toldos, Terach. Obviously, Terach was a very charismatic, or seems to have been a very charismatic individual. You know, somebody who appeared to be influential, somebody who, you know, commanded 5-6 psukim of his own, when everybody else, you know, is just getting, let's say, you know, a birth announcement, a brief biography, and just nothing more than transition. So both Noach in his way and Terach in his way seem to be people who are blessed with a certain kind of charismatic personality. People, you know, are struck by them, and they have a certain dramatis, persona dramatis, certain dramatic, you know, personality at that. Avram Avinu, right, is a Nechbal HaKelim, right? He's, you know, you have to have a good Bal Korei, and you have to be listening, you know, to pick up on these Akeif Gadols, you know, that he's really the focal point. You have to, you know, be medayik that it's Vayetzu Itam, and then you have to do the math to figure out that, you know, he had the presence of despite who he was, because he was the Amor HaChesed, that he left his father behind, that he can respond to Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha, Umi Maularta, Umi Beis Avicha, as painful as it must have been. Avram Avinu's leadership from the very beginning is purely substantive, right, and subtle. And I say I think it parallels, you know, the idea of Emecha Yafa Min Atznius, what Chazal say about the Dibros Rishonos and the Dibros Shnios, you know, the Dibros Rishonos, the Chuos, you know, the Kolos, you know, the Kolos and the Brakim, and, you know, it didn't turn out well, even though it was a necessary component. But the Luchos Shnios, you know, that was Enecha Yafa Min Atznius. And I think that this is the model of Manhigus in Klal Yisrael throughout. It is certainly true for Avraham Avinu. Again, it's even more dramatic when you consider, you know, what Chazal say about Avraham Avinu. All the missing episodes of Avraham Avinu's establishing himself as a, you know, as a substantive, you know, leader, including, you know, the Chazal's view of the Ur Kastim, the Kivshon Eish story, the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh. Even more importantly, the theological quest to find the Rabbonu Shel Olam. Again, the Or HaChaim starts off the next week's parsha, Lech Lecha, by saying, isn't it like extremely unusual to find a nevuah where there's no initial Hizgalus Hashem? Usually the Rabbonu Shel Olam appears to the Navi, and then he gives him nevuahs. Here, there's no Hizgalus, there's just plain. It's a good, that's the Or HaChaim, like, they had a genius, like a knack for picking up on things that, you know, that other people can miss, and just, you know, it's a good aura just in its own right. So he wondered, like, why is that true? How come that happened? So one of the things he says is, well, there, you know, Avraham Avinu, that's the whole point. Avraham Avinu found the Rabbonu Shel Olam. The Rabbonu Shel Olam didn't find, you know, Avraham Avinu. Meaning this is all, you know, symbolic. This is the subtlety. Avraham Avinu's, you know, background is one of substance and subtlety. And that's what it's about. And it's all about, the first time we really encounter his manhigus explicitly is when he's responding to the Tzivui Hashem, Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Mi'malaretecha, Mi'beisavi, as difficult as it is for him. As for Ur Kasdim, that's his own initiative. You know, the theological quest to find the Rabbonu Shel Olam, that's his own initiative. His role in moving the family, you know, from Ur Kasdim to Charan, you know, that is his initiative. It's a subtlety. All these things are critical. Right, none of these things register in the Torah's historical account of Avraham Avinu. The only thing the first thing it registers explicitly, and then sofo chiach al tchilaso, you go back to see everything else, is Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha responding to an actual tzivui. Again, Chazal say Avraham Avinu was, you know, Mekayim Mitzvos. It's an interesting topic, and the Parashas Drachim made it even more famous. But, you know, the Midrashim, Tanchumas in particular. But, you know, that was Eina Mitzvah of Yosef. The first time we really encounter Avraham Avinu is as a Mitzvah of Yosef. And this is the story of Avraham Avinu's whole life. Right? Ati adati kirei lakimata lo chasachtos bincha es yichidecha. Meaning, you know, like the Ramban explains, you Avraham Avinu's, the appreciation of Avraham Avinu always takes place l'mafreya. You know, rarely mikanu l'haba. It's It's really what he does when he does it. It's always in light of things that he later does. Then look back, reconstruct, and appreciate, you know, the great depth and consistency of Avraham Avinu. Even in the Isgalus Hashem, 3 years old, he's 5 years old, he's 40 years old. You know, I like to say that certainly the Rambam holds that he was both 3 or 5 years old and 40 years old. Meaning, it's a Avraham Avinu is about a process. Avraham Avinu is about substance, and it's not about, you know, noise. And he gets the job done. Then Golay Milsalam Afreya, that he's the first Moser Nefesh. He's the first person who finds the Rabbonu Sholom. HaNefesh Asher Asa Bachar, he's the first Makarev, and so on. But he does it in a way, and the truth is, it's not just Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu sets the tone for the rest of Manhigus and Kal Yisrael. It's not for now, but Yitzchak, you know, that basically doesn't exist as a child in the Torah, right, until the Akedah. And then he disappears. Yaakov, as we know, he's not the one who's getting all the press. Right, it's Esav who's getting the press. Yaakov is the Ishtam Yosheva Halim. It's only in retrospect that we understand who he always was, the Mafreya. Moshe Rabbeinu, also, you know, he's a hidden child, right? Doesn't even know who he is or what his identity is. You know, it's only when he develops, you know, and comes out of hiding and undergoes a certain process that he becomes the greatest leader of Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech. This is really the history of the Manhigus of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here. Next time.